All right, so if you would, turn to 3 John, 3 John. Today our letter, our study comes from this very brief epistle, letter. Some people even look at it more as a postcard rather than even a letter because it's so short. It only contains 14 verses. But what you need to know about 3 John is 3 John is a missionary document through and through. It's about supporting missionaries, those missionaries who are going out into the world and they need a base of operation. And that base of operation was often Christians' homes. They would come and live in their home for a while and use that as a base of operation to preach the gospel. And then they would go on to other places and other Christians would receive them into their home. So it's about Christian hospitality. But one man writes, Christianity is a missionary religion, converting, advancing, aggressive, encompassing the world. A non-missionary church, he says, is in the bands of death. And I think he is right on. 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us a mission. And this mission applies to every single Christian. No Christian is exempt. Here's the thing. I can remember years ago where people said, I don't really have any interest in missions. And a lot of times people wouldn't come back on Sunday night if we were having a missionary because they weren't interested. Well, the way you get interested is the way you get interest in the bank. You put something in and then you get interest in return. In a similar way, when you show interest in the mission of Jesus, giving your time, giving your money, giving your prayer, what you will find is that your interest in missions begins to grow because you're investing. You're putting something into it. If you just keep it way out there, it's never going to be of interest to you. We should be interested in missions. Our God is a sending God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And verse 17 says he sent him into the world. And so today as we look at this letter, this very brief letter, I want to give you four reasons why we need to support mission efforts. Why we need to help send the truth to other places. The very first reason that I want to give is this. God expects us to be senders. He's a sender, and he's called us to be senders. That's why he said in Matthew 28, go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the world. Our God is a sending God. Read with me the first four verses. The elder, John refers to himself as the elder here. He says, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The elder, John, commends Gaius because he's walking in the truth. He's living the Christian life and he's thrilled. I'm going to ask you a question though. Can you live the Christian life without being involved in missions? Without being involved in evangelism? Because if I remember, Jesus said, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke chapter 6, verse 40. And what he said was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And so that's one of his commands. We don't get to select what command we're going to obey and what command we're not going to obey. We need to obey all the commands of Jesus. And there are really two great joys that I think comes from evangelism. And the more you do it, the more thrilled you will become. The first joy, it is when you're involved in reconciling men and women to God through the gospel. That is such a wonderful experience when you see this person who's dead in their trespasses and sins, and they then commit their life to Christ. They trust Him. They obey the gospel. They become His child. That's thrilling, because that's one more person the devil has lost. That's one more person that's going to heaven. But there's even a greater joy that follows that, and that is simply seeing those you brought to Christ be faithful. That's thrilling. You see, it's not how many baptisms we have. It's how many continue their walk with Jesus. That's what's important. Sometimes we tout the baptism. We had 50 baptisms. Well, how many of those are still faithful today? That's the key question. It's not how many we baptize, but how many follow through with their commitment to Jesus. Gaius is faithful. He's continued in the truth. And what is the truth? Jesus in John 17:17, in that prayer He prays, He says, "Father, sanctify them through Your truth. Your word is truth." What is truth? This book, God's word. That's truth. And so when we continue in the truth, we please the Lord. And so, do the scriptures teach that we should be involved in missions? Well, absolutely it does. All the great commissions we have. But in addition, listen to what Paul writes in Romans 10. He says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul says we need to be senders. I mean, how can they go unless they're sent? That's the question that Paul asks. And that's our responsibility. They can't just go. Okay, let's say today you said, "You know what, I want to be involved in missions. And I'm just going to go." What are you going to do? How are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? What are you going to do? You can't just go. You got to have people send you. People who will support you and your efforts, so you don't have to worry about whether you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep and how your family's going to be tended to and taken care of. You don't have to worry about any of that. And so, in our text, there's no doubt in our mind, John has evangelism in mind. He even says in verse 5 and 6, he says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers," notice, "who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing of the Gentiles." They went in His name and they didn't take anything, and so they were dependent upon Christian hospitality. For Christians to care for them and aid them and help them so that the truth can continue to go forward. That's what God wills. But then secondly, these men and women who go out on the mission field, they are worthy. They are worthy of our support. And that's what Paul just said in the verses I just read in verses 5 through 8. In that section right there, okay? And so some think that missions are just nothing more than a drain on the budget. And over the years, you know, like I said, I've heard people say, "I'm not coming back Sunday night. There's a missionary going to be speaking, so I don't want to be a part of that. Missionaries are boring." But I would say this: how can they go unless they're sent? That's the question Paul asked, and that's the question that we have to answer. How can they go unless they are sent? Brethren, these men and women who go forth are worthy of our support. They're worthy of our support. We need to know that. You see, they go out in Jesus' name. And because they go out in Jesus' name, we need to support what they do. And there are numerous ways that we can support missions. I'll just list a couple of them here. Number one that we can do it is send missionaries. Number two, send money. We do that. Number three, we can pray. Hopefully all of you are praying for our missions. And Jesus even said to pray for missions in Matthew chapter 9. We can buy supplies. We've done that for people. We can go on campaigns. Many of us have done that. And that's a wonderful thing to do. We can write letters to the missionaries encouraging them. Just think, they leave the country, they go to another country, they don't know anybody, and they're completely cut off from home. And they're not getting any mail, any encouragement. Well, that's hard. It's hard enough to go. You need encouragement. And that's why it's important we do these kinds of things. You can be involved in World Bible School. You can actually study. You can go online and study with people all over the world through World Bible School. It's just online. Just have Bible studies with people. It's a wonderful way. But here's a critical question. And I want every one of you to really take this question to heart. If everyone had your attitude about missions, would the world have the hope of hearing the good news about Jesus? If everyone had your attitude about missionaries and mission work, would the world have hope of hearing about Jesus? That's an important question. You see, Christianity is a missionary religion. And that's why the Bible says when mankind fell, God immediately executed a plan to bring his family of lost sons and daughters home. The Bible says that God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven and we could know God. That's why he came. Third reason we need to support missions from 3 John is we must support missions because of the many who do not. There are many, many, many Christians and churches that do not support missions. You would be amazed at the number of people who don't support missions. They have the attitude, we need to take care of things at home. We need to take care of things here. That's pretty selfish. That's pretty selfish when you think about it. Any church or any person has that attitude, that's really kind of selfish when you think about it. See, we see in our text here in verses 9 and 10. Look at these verses. I wrote to the church, but to Atrophies, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, parading against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. Notice, and he forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Can you imagine this guy, Diotrephes? Wow. You're not going to support missions if, as far as I'm concerned, it ain't happening here. That's what he basically said. And he would not allow it. Preachers in the first century were dependent upon the hospitality of Christians for their food and their lodging. He refused to support that work. And he cast out those who would help those missionaries. Well, here's the truth. The spirit of Diotrephes is alive and well in many congregations today. No one is standing up saying, you can't be involved in mission efforts. No one's standing up and doing that. However, and no one's kicking you out of the church for being involved in mission efforts as well. But at the same time, many congregations are not involved in world religions. They don't pray world missions. They don't pray for missionaries. They don't financially support mission efforts. They say things like, we need to take care of our own. We need to evangelize where we live. That's true. We need to evangelize where we live. But we cannot forget the Great Commission instructs us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God loves all people, not just Americans and not just people who live in Enid. He loves the world. And he's doing everything he can to bring his lost sons and daughters home. And he needs his people to be involved in the task that will bring them home. And that's missions and evangelism. If the church wants the blessing of God, then we have to obey God. We can't expect God's blessing if we're walking in disobedience. So, we must make missions a priority because of the many who do not make it a priority. Think about this. 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. 72% of the world has seen a can of Coca-Cola. 51% of the world has tasted a can of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola had only been around when this illustration was given in 1984, 80 years. And almost everybody in the world knows about Coca-Cola. Isn't that amazing? Maybe God should have gave the Great Commission to the Coca-Cola company, because they got after it and they got their brand out there in the world. Think about that. Wow. That's incredible. And that's just a soft drink. But everybody knows about it. Now it's been 122 years. Well, the last point I want to make is we must support missions because of the positive and the negative consequences. Let's look at the positive consequences. Look with me at verse 11. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil," that's Diotrephes, "but what is good," that's Gaius, that's Demetrius. He says, "He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." So what are the positive consequences of being involved in evangelism? You have God. You're walking in obedience to God. You are involved in the Great Commission, which is the work that God's doing in the world. This is the main thing. The main thing is not to come together like this on a Sunday morning. That is not the main thing. That's not the main thing. The main thing is to go into the world so that everybody can hear the gospel and everyone who hears has an opportunity to respond favorably or unfavorably. It's their choice. But they should have the opportunity. And we need to give them that opportunity. But he's clear. Do what is good. You do what's good, you have God. You don't have to worry about it. What about the negative consequences? He says, "But he who does evil has not seen God." And we do evil when we don't obey God. When we don't do what he calls us to do, that's evil. That's exactly what it is. So this morning, we've observed four reasons why we need to support world missions. Number one, God expects us to be senders. Number two, those men and women who go out deserve our report. Number three, because of the many who do not support missions. And number four, because of the positive and the negative consequences. I hope this lesson will motivate you to become part of God's plan, to search out and be part of God's search and rescue team, bringing all of his lost sons and daughters home, because that's what he wants. So here's the question. Will you help send the truth? Will you help send the truth? Will you go forth in Jesus' name with the gospel? And will you help support those who are? And this morning, if we have anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you need to know him. Because in John, 1 John chapter 5, we're told, "He who has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." So if you know Jesus, you have life. If you don't know Jesus, you abide in death and you'll never have life. You must come to Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so this morning, if you need to come to know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, we call you to do that as we stand and sing.